What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
It was like Hansen, when Hansen played, never got his kit dirty. It was like he'd come off covered in blood and snot and he'd just walk off and basically give his kit to the kit man, said he won't need to wash that this week.
OTB AM, live, weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
It's the Irish Examiner front page this morning. We haven't talked about the papers,
love
but
this,
I just want to bring
sure.
you this, right? There is an allure there, and it's a picture of a young, spry Jack O'Connor in his Kerry gear. He's obviously an old picture because he's not the Kerry manager. He is the Kildare manager. But he's saying in the podcast with Paul Rouse in the Examiner, there is an allure there. Jack O'Connor hints he'd be open to a Kerry return. Who doesn't want to coach Man United is the question. So I should say, so John Fogarty has the piece inside. O'Connor is expected to remain at the helm in Kildare in 2022. What? What? Hang on now. So you're the Kildare manager next year, but you want to be the Kerry manager, is what
you said? There's an allure there.
Okay, let's just parse these quotes, right? David Brady's with us, by the way. David, good morning to you. How are you? Feel free to contribute at any point here, right? But I just want to. I'm interested in your view in this, right? Who doesn't want to coach Man United? There is that allure because of the tradition. Of course, there is an allure there. He told Paul Rouse. It's how much it means to people down here. You meet women on the street. They mightn't have gone to the game, but they want to talk about the game. It's everything down here. You can't escape from it down here. Any pocket in the county you go to, they want to talk football. So it's all consuming. Sure, it's an absolute joy when you win, but a lonely, dark place when you don't. Look, the Kerry gig is a fantastic job. It's a very challenging job. But would you want to be anywhere else in many ways? Because the tradition is here. Everything is built towards the Kerry senior football team. The players are coming through. If you want an easy life, you go coach somewhere else. Look, I'm not the Kildare County Board, but I don't think you can have somebody who wants another job in charge of your team. I just, like, it's nothing against Jack O'Connor, but if he wants the Kerry job and he's touting for the Kerry job, then take the Kerry job, but you can't have the Kildare job and the Kerry job.
You got to listen to the podcast, though, and see what context those comments were made, you know.
I mean, they don't sound any different. You can listen to it. DB, am I wrong about this?
Easy on, Older. As Johnny said, you need to probably listen to the podcast for the context. Of course, he's talking about his own county.
Yeah.
As well.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, but he's allowed to do that.
I'd like
the
Kildare manager to be like, no, I don't want that job. I've got a great job where it is. We've just got into Division 1. We've seen the Dubs are beatable. That's what I want to do. I'm hungry for that. That's what I want the Kildare manager to say.
And he probably did say it. you're just not seeing it on paper. And look, he'd want to come to Mayo if he wants to walk down the street and talk about football.
The difference there, though, David, is that the woman on the street has gone to the game with the 60,000 other... Because Kerry people, kind of, they might go for the semi-final and the final in Mayo. They actually go to the game anyway, regardless it's in London, New York or Dublin.
I'm not against outside managers. McGeaney was a brilliant manager for Kildare. But you've got to be lock, stock and barrel committed to the gig. I don't think you can be having one eye over the shoulder going, geez, the Kerry gig is available right now. Do you know, I just think that if you are Kildare and you're trying to reassert yourselves as a first world nation in Gaelic football, your manager can't be going, yeah, actually, the Kerry job is the real job. That's the best job.
Did he say Man United?
He did say Man United, yeah.
Right. Again, it comes back to history and culture and perception and heritage. And that's what Kerry have carried with them. But does that remain? Does that aura still have relevance when you look at the modern day game and what has happened over the last couple of years and look back to last weekend? The mystique we all have this, and it is, the Kerry brand, the Kerry GA, the word Kerry in football is iconic and it has a heritage and history. But again, that's history. In the present day, it has lingered a little bit, and they have failed to make an impact in any way, shape, or form to a degree.
Look, realistically, and all joking aside, I think Kildare should be looking for a different manager next year. I think
not at all, Ger. Hold on a second now.
I do, because I think that, like,
whoa, one second now. I'll ask you a question.
The performance against Dublin was terrible. That's the main thing, the first thing. The second thing, the performance against Clare in the league, terrible. Okay, so they got promoted after a short season. They were pretty lucky to get promoted.
Hold on a second now. They got promoted.
Yeah, but I think that the whole point here is that the football culture isn't actually being established by somebody who is coming up and down. If we want to challenge Mayo, if we want to challenge Tyrone as a football culture, we actually need to look internally and build structures where the best young managers are coming through our own system and they're given the opportunity to manage the senior inter-county team. And I also think that if you're going public and saying other jobs are better jobs than your current job, then you're just in the wrong job. And that's nothing personal. It's absolutely nothing against him. It's fine for him as a Kerry legend to want the Kerry gig. I totally understand that. But actually, we need somebody who only wants to kill their job.
And you know what? Let me tell you. Take Jim Galvin out of the scene. In the last 20 years of football, and I have got to know Jack on the periphery and talk to him and everything else. He is the most successful manager that's walking around bar Jim Galvin. Unbelievable track record. Unbelievable success.
With Kerry.
Not just...
Yeah.
With Kerry, yeah. And again, if that's a template and you're saying to yourself, if you want the best managers to move around... be careful for what you're asking for, Joe, because you have it. You have a man that's won minors, 21s, multiple seniors. And he's not, I don't think he's there for the crack, and he's not there for the junket. And again, I would hope that someone like Jack O'Connor is building what you would call a platform for Kildare to move forward, not under him maybe in the next 2 or 3 years, but to the future. And hopefully, and I hate when managers come in and they go away and it's good luck, goodbye and God bless. They have to be identifying a succession plan within Kildare. They have to be identifying who's going to be the next manager, who's going to be the backroom, who's going to be the core of your team. I think I wouldn't be as dismissive as that. And again, you're a bit hard on them.
I don't think there's a chance in hell the Kerry County Board are going to go back to Jack O'Connor. But what if they did? What if they did? He's saying, yeah, essentially, I would take that gig. Like, yeah, you can't be having that. You need certainty. The Kildare Championship is about to start.
He'll be there. He'll be there.
Well,
he is. Jack O'Connor will manage Kerry in the future at some stage.
Again.
Yeah. Wow. Definitely. Look at it.
Well,
and look at I remember reading his book. You know, it's not about being Mr. Popular. And again, there was a lot of, I suppose it's from a kind of a divisional divide. And he got a hard time, but he produced results. He produced results. And you know what he did? He went back to the drawing board. He went back to try and integrate and develop a young crop of players. And he did that. And I think he knows his time. He knows when it's the time to actually say, right, now I know these guys are ready. Maybe it's not this year, but I would definitely say sometime in the future. And you can see this constant trend and in a lot of counties, successful counties. And I know I'm going back to the Mickey Hart time, but if you have that rapport and you have that lineage of developing players in minor and under 21, which is they'll give you a lot. And you're well ahead. You're well ahead of the pack if you're there as a senior manager, because it is a very influential time. And if you have success, that grow and that bond will come back when you're the senior manager. I suppose if you look at a lot of the managers now, they've had some fingerprint on young guys coming up, whether it's minor, under 20s. And senior football.
We see with Dewar and Logan and the success and how quickly they've been able to...
There's got to be a lot of chat in Tyrone about, like, why do we not do this an awful lot sooner? I mean, really? I mean, it looked like they were bleeding the life out of that regime at that stage, and here we are straight into an Ireland final.
And that's what it is, boys, and I said it last week in the pub, like, this is an opportunity for guys to totally express themselves under a new management system. Under new people. It's still Tyrone. It's still the brand of football to a degree. But sometimes it just kind of gives you a breath of fresh air. And look at, we've seen it over the time, like Jack O'Connor won his first All-Ireland coming in his first year. What a manager does when he comes into a new setup, and if he's ready to go at the very start, and he's ready to rumble, well, you know, momentum can be a great benefit to you. I've seen it in my own very first year of senior intercounty football, 95, 96, new manager, momentum. You know, that kind of bond, that kind of closeness drove us on, and all of a sudden you're going, jeez, we're in Division 3, and all of a sudden we're in an All-Ireland final. And it's happened time and time again.
He lost to Galway in the Connacht, and then John Mahon took over after that, wasn't it?
John Mahon took over in September 95. I came into the panel in September 95, and that was it. John O'Mahony in his first year in Galway, 98.
Joe Kernan was a first year manager. Mickey Hart was actually a first year manager when they both won All Ireland. So it was a period where the thing was to be new and fresh and take a group of players who were tired and had the same voice. But Tyrone were obviously coming off the back of unbelievable underage success, and those lads who came through weren't just footballers, they were thinkers, they were physically aggressive, they were athletes. It was a brilliant time for them to be getting them. Look, my last point about Jack O'Connor before we go on, because that wasn't what we were supposed to be talking about, is no self-respecting.
No, you went off on a tangent.
Well, it is front page of the Examiner, yeah. To be fair.
No self-respecting Division 1 football culture would actually have their manager looking over the shoulder going, actually, I want another job in Division 1. You know, that's the problem. When you take a manager from one county, their grow will always be that county. And Kildare needs to have their own talent line and production line of managers who are coming through and who have proven themselves, who are ready to go. And I don't blame Jack O'Connor for wanting the Kerry job. I blame the Kildare County Board for not putting in place a situation where somebody whose only interest is in the job of being the Kildare manager. That's
and
fair.
Look, it is fair, and that probably is there. Will Davy Byrne be the next Kildare manager?
I mean, I don't know. Like,
can I ask you a question as a Kildare man?
Go for it.
Who has been more successful, Jack O'Connor in his short stint versus Kieran McGeaney?
Well, McGeaney reached an Ireland semi final, and had a team that ran the Dubs close by trying to win the game in a Leinster final. So I would say McGeaney was more successful than what we've seen so far from Jack O'Connor. In fairness, McGeaney had much longer time to build that. But I never got the sense McGeaney was trying to get the Armagh gig at that stage. Like, he wanted to stay. We kicked him out stupidly.
Yeah, I did. And if you ask Kieran McGeaney back then, you know, about Armagh and his county, and that's where his heart is, and that's where his love of a county is, it probably would permeate in some way, shape or form.
Maybe, I suspect his answer would have been, I've got a great job, I've got this group of players, we're building something, you know, and we've got the Dubs right there for the taking, because we believed that at the time.
I think we need to listen to the podcast.
Exactly. Okay. Well, I've heard a good bit of it.
Right.
Who doesn't want to manage? Who doesn't want to coach Man United?
Yeah, I remember Lord Restum, and he was a character. John Morrison, and he says, "Mayo were the Brazil of Gaelic football." And it's not that it came back to bite us in the arse, but he was like, we were by no means the Brazil of Gaelic football. Maybe one or two fellas were. But look at it, the Man United of the GAA, in my mind, is Dublin.
Yeah.
Big time.
Have you found anyone in the county who was at the 51 All-Ireland who wants to, like, who might be at the game against Tyrone that can say, yeah, I was at the last one as well. It's 70 years ago now, and there probably was.
There was, and I've had the pleasure of talking to one or two people outside of Mayo that was at the 1951 All-Ireland over the last year and a half, and some of the phone calls I've been making. I've talked to Paddy Prendergast, who's the one of the key figures of the Mayo 1951 team. We got to remember Mickey Loftus, Dr. Mickey, former president of the GAA. He was involved in that panel. And again, it's 70 years is a long time ago. To be a 12 or 14 year old being, you know, lifted over the turnstiles and everything else, but I was brought back over the last during lockdown to games like that. I was brought back to a game in 1936, I have to say it lives fresh in people's memories. For the few and the privilege that were there and they're at it, but it's all about the next Saturday week, the 11th September for two teams that really have an opportunity of a lifetime and two teams that really haven't experienced that occasion of winning on Ireland.
I missed when it came out the first time, your Laker Gael, but they showed it again after the semi-final and I was lying on the couch and flicked over and there it was in the middle of it, you on the bus and talking about those journeys that you made and how the Mayo football is stitched into the lives of people, and it kind of brings us right back to that start of that conversation about you do walk down the street and it's exactly the same way. Have you thought about, are you dreaming yet about what victory might actually mean to all those people? Are you trying not to think about it too much because of the heartache? What's your relationship with the hope at the moment?
How long am I chatting to you boys now? 12, 13 years?
Yeah.
Sorry, 15 years. 15 years. And 2006, I retired and I start chatting to you. And did you ever hear me lose hope?
No. But it's the hope that kills you.
It's not the hope that kills you. It's the hope that keeps you alive. And there's people hoping and wishing and everything else in Tyrone, the same as we are. The same as a young fella might be doing down in Wicklow or Carlow that says, you know what? Wouldn't I hope and wish and dream? So if you don't dream, you don't sleep. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. And you have to. And as the player, you envisage that. From a mental perspective, yes, you envisage it, but you envisage what it takes to get there. And from a mindfulness point of view, or a meditation, you visualize what it takes and what it's like and what it will feel like. You have to look past the end goal and the end line to embed it in your mind to say, that's what I want. That's my driving ambition. And the same is from this young Tyrone team. They haven't suffered the defeats. Outside heartbreak is a word that's bandied about a lot, especially in connection with Mayo. If your heart stops, unless you're resuscitated, you're dead. And from a Mayo perspective, the heart has never stopped. We've been close to resuscitation once or twice, but it's you have to dream, and you have to believe. And I have firmly said it. As a player, I always believed it. And as a supporter, I've always said it.
You got to see it as well. Like you said, you never gave up hope. But like, I'd say of all those years you're talking about and you've been on off the ball, like the lowest Mayo fan would possibly have felt was 12 months ago, where it just was so routine in the second half. And Dublin really did look unbeatable. Like, and I spoke to a few people, David, after the Dublin game, and this is by no means preempting if Mayo don't beat Tyrone. I think Mayo will win the All-Ireland this year. That what they did against Dublin in the second half was one of the greatest sporting achievements I've ever seen, because it was like, you know, Colm O'Rourke saying we may as well go home at half time, 6 points down, the weight of history against you, so much going wrong, so much of a meltdown for Aidan O'Shea missing that shot. What you did, like, surely that was the game where you know that this has to be the year, because that performance, like, it probably won't take something like that in the final. That was just, it wasn't sport, it was just believing that we can do this despite all the weight of failures behind us. We can beat the greatest team of all time in their own patch and reduce them to rubble at the end.
I think Dublin produced or let themselves crumble to a degree. And again, that beating Dublin will not be worth a damn. Honestly, I was in the same situation back in 2006, my last year playing, when maybe one of the greatest performances of all time, coming back from 7 points down with 12, 14 minutes to go. And there was hullabaloo and there was, oh, this is it, and now we bet the Dubs, and what a master performance. Last kick of the game, Hogan stand, Kieran McDonald, left foot, away you go, here Mayo. No good to you. No good to you if you don't finish the job. and it's time. And there is an opportunity to throw the shackles off. And, you know, and say, this is it. This is it. And we've been there before, so we can learn that lesson.
When you whether watch a sporting event like this as well, whether a lot of people, I think, now have a passing interest in Gaelic football, where they won't watch it much of the time. They'll tune in for some of the big games. But there isn't a human in you if your heart doesn't skip a beat or something befalls your body. In that moment, if the All-Ireland final is over, the referee blows the final whistle and you look at Mayo people crumble to the ground, because that's what it means at this stage.
Jesus. Yeah. To be some crack, in all fairness. And I try and not let myself go to that place, because the game has to be played. You know, how are you going... I try and not let myself go there, to be honest with you. I try and say the game needs to be played. The ball needs to be won. There's no one. And look at whatever papers or headlines have been written, there's no favourites going into this game.
Were you favourites ahead of the Kerry game? I can't remember in 06. I guess you weren't, even though you'd beaten the Dogs.
Not really, because look at the quality and look at the calibre and look at the team that they had. And it was the same team that bet us in, am I right, in 04?
It was.
Yeah, so they were serious. They were serious ballers, big time. So we weren't in favourites, but it was. I honestly went into that game in 06 saying, we're going to win this game. And there's no player that should go into an All-Ireland Finals and not say anything else. The last time we were ever favourites. And does the favourites tag with Mayo? Look, it doesn't matter a damn. We've been through every trial and tribulation that you could ask for. And it's never served a purpose, because it never wins you a game. And again, it's about that.
Were you favourites ever? I don't remember.
97.
Right.
We were favourites in 97. We had lost 96. And Johnny, you're going to... that Dublin thing. You want to go back as a Mayo supporter or a Mayo player to see 96, what we went through, and seven points up, and in your going, you cannot get worse than that. Never mind if you score two goals, but that's the journey of life. And again, these are a different bunch of players. And one thing, and I won't say his name, the Mayo dressing room has been absolutely re-energized by some young fellas coming in. And it's not the laissez-faire and they don't give a damn. It's just that they're going, here, we're here to play football.
They haven't failure per se.
Well, look at Man says someone's always going to have failure in some aspect, but you mightn't have the tag of losing six All-Irelands. But a lot of the young fellas have reinvigorated this Mayo team by their attitude and the way they play, and sometimes the way they turn up. Manses, one long sock, one short sock, one pink boot, one blue boot, baseball cap upside down or wherever. And they're going, you know what? We're only here to play football.
Yeah.
And another big thing is, now we've got two All-Ireland finals in a row now. You can say it's a serious achievement to keep going. But the big thing is that the boys aren't meeting up in the Spa Hotel in Lucan right now, or at 4 o'clock today, and driving down for 2.5 hours on a bus, and training and going through analysis and eating, getting back on the bus at 10:30.
Yeah.
Getting up to the Spa Hotel and looking at 1:15, 1:15. And then getting up at 6 or 6:30 in the morning, as we all do in a city like this.
It's the COVID bounty. It is
a massive bonus. So it is. Mm-hmm. To have that collective, and there's been one or two up, you know, sporadically. But to have that collective unit at James Horan's disposal has been a benefit. And as you said, it is the COVID bounty.
The last question, I definitely heard from somebody who was talking to somebody in the camp. Like, we'd kind of prefer Kerry, because we know exactly what they're going to throw at us. With Tyrone, you don't know that much. There's some video evidence against top quality opposition from the Ulster Championship and now the All-Ireland semi-final about what Tyrone are going to do. And it's not a million miles away, but it's definitely a development from last year. But there's still unknowns about Tyrone. Does McShane start? Or if he does start, do they take him off? And how will that change it? You know, does he come off the bench? With Kerry, you knew exactly what you were getting. close down Paddy, and you go miles towards closing down David, close down Sean O'Shea and Paddy, and it's game over. With Tyrone, it's kind of different. So would you have preferred, in a perverse way, even though there are ghosts from Kerry, to play Kerry in an All-Ireland final than Tyrone?
Good point. You probably would be more definitive on your matchups. And Mayo have always matched up and matched up well and got their calls right in the matchups as such. And I think your matchups were more identifiable if you were playing Kerry. You're going, well, does he go on Sludden? You know, does Matty Donnelly, are you going to put your ace on Matty Donnelly, or is it going to be Colin McShane? Do you put a whore? You know, but I honestly don't believe there's going to be a 20-80. 20% focus on Tyrone, but 80% focus has to be on how Mayo dictate and how Mayo play and how they try and rule the game. I don't think there's you can't put 50% of your time into how you stop them from playing, because it's very hard to stop a team that is that eager and is that touch tight. As you could, the word in football, touch tight. What I seen from Tyrone was octopus tight. They had their hands absolutely everywhere. There wasn't 2 seconds. There wasn't men that was allowed to hold the ball for 2 seconds without a hand being on them, and a physical hand. And the tenacity in their tackle was a major, major point. And if you look at two turning points of this championship for me, and it has brought these teams to the All-Ireland final, very simplistic thing to say, Petey Hart's diving block, we remember it. And Jim with O'Connor's toe to stop the ball going in.
The iconic moment of the championship in some respects.
It is, and Petey, and you're going, you know what, when you have them things and you see them things and you experience them on the pitch as a player, that your opposition, your man is after doing it. That creates unbelievable drive and momentum, and both of these teams have it going into the final. There's a serious opportunity for both teams at this game. But I think you throw the shackles off and say, here it goes and here it is. We have this opportunity.
Mayo people think you'll win, though, don't you?
If we play to the best of our ability and our big players play well and luck goes on our side, we'll win. But so will Tyrone if they have the app, you know. I honestly
we're headed for penalties.
I honestly won't be able for penalties.
There's a replay. If the final is a draw, there's a replay.
And look at Tyrone or DA Med. But tickets, oh man. I'm telling you now.
They need to extend it to 82,000.
They do. They just need to decide. The country's opening up. We may as well open it for this. Come on.
There's no compulsion to go to this game. And if you happen to pick up COVID at this game, you'll put your hands up and say, I took that risk. I'm sorry. I don't mind self-isolating. Let them go to the game. It's ridiculous.
The door is open. My head is wrecked for the next 2 weeks. And it is about I'm trying to get tickets. And it is just going to be chaotic. Not chaotic, it's just going to be hard. And you have to accept we're in a different environment and in a different circumstance, having 40,000 there.
Look,
but it's with the help of God, it'll be 35,000 male people.
If anybody hasn't seen the Lake Regale, it's brilliant. It's a love poem to you and to Mayo football and to the journey and to defeat and to winning and to hope. I thought it was great. I love it.
Thanks, John. It's not about me. It typifies what Mayo is about. And it's that people from Westport going on the bus and living to go on the bus. And they have missed that bloody bus so much, like we all have. And again, with having live sport and having representative GAA football on over the last couple of months, it's given us a bloody chance to talk, a chance to live, and maybe a chance to dream.
Well, enjoy the dreams, whatever happens next. TV, brilliant having
pleasure
you.
Pleasure, boys.
Thanks a million.
Talk. God bless.